Let's give the choir some love, always, always. Speak to my heart. Yes, indeedy. Good morning, beloved ones.
Good morning.
Before I take a moment to acknowledge all of our wonderful mothers, I just want to take this time to thank all of you who participated in our peace walk yesterday.
Yes.
I've got pictures and it looks wonderful, and I can see that Unity of Washington, D.C. really represented well. I'm so proud of this church. I love you all so much, because when a call is put out, you guys just answer the call and show up, you know, with your full wonderful selves. So I wasn't able to go to attend. I wouldn't have been able to walk. I've got a little, some issues going on with my knee. And then Friday, I decided that I spent half a day at urgent care, but I'm off. Everything is good. Nothing that some antibiotics and stuff won't cure. But anyway, so I wasn't able to join you all, but I thank you from the bottom of my heart for being out there. And, you know, I was just thinking maybe next year there'll be not just Unity churches, but all the churches and synagogues and people of faith to get out and really start walking for peace and showing our, you know, we know the demonstrations and the protests and all that, but we need to do the opposite too, bring our light out there in full force numbers. So I want to just thank you. I wanted to take the time to thank Lori Russo, whose idea it was, and she got the three ministers, myself, Unity of Fairfax, Reverend Edith, and Reverend Russell from Unity of Fairfax, Reverend Edith from Unity of Gaithersburg together. So I want to thank that. I also want to take the time to thank Tracy, who I see her back there, for helping with the sound and making all of our signs, and Allison, who also came to help get things set up. So let's give some thanks for that. I love it when we step up as a community. There's going to be so much. There's so much for us to do individually in our lives, but there's a lot for us to do collectively. And when we come together as a collective, we are mighty in numbers, but mighty energetically too, to accomplish things or to create a shift or to create a change. If you think that one person can't change and have an effect on the world, think again, because one person is what? Having an effect on the world, right? Not necessarily in a way we would like, but that soul is affecting the world order of things. Can you imagine when all of us, you know, two or three that are gathered together in the name and nature of the Christ come together to put out light, to do something good? We too can affect world change. We too can do some mighty, mighty work. So I'm grateful and thankful, as always, to this community. This is the bestest community there is. I really do believe that in my heart of hearts. I used to say I would never go anywhere else to serve, because I'm in the right and perfect place with the right and perfect people. So give yourselves just some love. And now I want to just say Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. And as always, we ask all of our mothers to just stand so that we can honor you, acknowledge you, applaud you, celebrate you. So, well, our mothers, please stand. Look at all of our wonderful mothers. Yes. Thank you. You know, where would we be without our mothers? We would not be here, that's for sure. We would not be here. And so it's right that we would take time to acknowledge, you know, the soul and the vessel that gave us life. And I know that there are many amongst us who did not raise their hands, including myself, who have no biological children, but we have also somehow found ourselves mothering at some point in our lives, right? So, yes. And it might have been other people's children, because I've mothered other people's children. It could be some friends that need mothering, or family members that need our wise counsel, or whoever needed some TLC, or they needed a tender heart, or just a comforting presence. Have you ever been a comforting presence to someone? You didn't even have to speak, but you knew that your presence was a help and a comfort to them. Maybe it's someone who just needed to know that they were accepted and loved just as they are. So we see all of you as well, all of those who are mothering, because everybody could use a mothering spirit. Yes? Yes. Because, you know, that's something we all seek and desire, to be loved and acknowledged and affirmed and understood unconditionally. Yes? Yes. So I want to take a moment to just recognize what we did for my mother. So my youngest brother flew in to surprise my mother for Mother's Day. And so I told my mother that I was going to get my nails done, because I figured that takes a couple of hours. She won't panic that I'm not there. So I said, I'm going to get my nails done, but I was actually going to the airport to pick him up. And so we decided when we got to the house that I would go in first, right? And I entered through my garage. So I said, I'll go in first and put our stuff down, the package and stuff, and I'll just, you know, tell her that I have her Mother's Day present. So I got in, and she was sitting at the table doing her puzzle, as she always does. And I said, oh, she said, oh, you're back. I said, yes. And I said, I got your Mother's Day present for you, and I have to go in the garage and get it. I have to put stuff down. She said, oh, you know, you're my present. You didn't have to do blah, 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 blah. Then she said, well, is it heavy? I said, yes, it's very heavy. She said, well, is it big? I said, yes, it's very big, because she didn't want me to have to carry it. She was figuring, well, how am I going to bring this big, heavy thing in? I said, yes, it's very big, very heavy. Just a minute. Give me a minute. So I went out and came back in. And, of course, I opened up the door. My brother was standing there with some flowers. And she just hollered and screamed and cried and, you know. Yeah. So she was crying, oh, my baby boy, you know. I wanted to say, what am I, chopped liver? But that's okay. But that's all right. That they have a special relationship, and it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? I don't even fight against that. But then we decided to top it off that my older brother was going to come, and he came. My youngest brother came Friday, and my oldest brother came Saturday. And so we kind of told her he was coming. So, you know, we were all saying, should we surprise her too much? You think we don't want to give her a heart attack and stuff like that. So, but this was a really special day, because he came yesterday, and she said this was the best gift that she could have, was having all of her children with her. And usually I have my nephews or whatever. You know, we have nephews and whatever, or my nieces and stuff, but this was just the three of us with her. And she said, this is my best present, to have all of my children with me. And so I had to cajole them that, okay, let's make it even better. Let's come to church tomorrow. And they're like, church? You know, my brother, we don't have church clothes. I said, you don't need church clothes in Unity. This is a what? Come as you are party, right? So I said, y'all just come. And he said, well, my brother said, well, I don't think I've been in church where I didn't have a suit. I said, you can come. You don't have to have a suit. Let's just make this, you know, a special day for her. And I'm thinking, I was reading something about how a mother carries all of the cells of her children in her body for life. And that's a real powerful thing for her lifetime. It's fascinating, because what that says is that a mother always has her children with her. Whether they're out there, or her children are with her. And I began reading the process, and it's sort of a new science that they're looking into and discovering. But the process, which is what they call bidirectional, is called fetal microchimerism. Oh, I said it so perfectly this morning. M-I-C-R-O-C-H, chimerism. Ah, microchimerism. Right? Fetal micro. And that is, this is what it says, fetal microchimerism is the bidirectional exchange of cells between a fetus and
a mother during pregnancy, where some small numbers of the fetal stem cells transfer into the mother's system, the mother's circulation system, and persist in her organs either for decades or for her lifetime. That's powerful, right? Because if you think about it, the mother is making a human being, a fetus, and all that it takes to do that. And the cells and the tissues and all that, and in order for the body not to reject the foreign object, because you know our bodies will reject something foreign that it doesn't know, right? It's like, well, what is all of this? So the cells of the fetus is incorporated into the mother and the cells of the mother so that it's what? It's familiar. It's comfortable. It knows, oh, this is a part of me. I'm a part of it, right? And so fetal cells have been identified in a mother's heart. They've been identified in the liver, in the lungs, in the spleen, in the kidneys, in the brain. They have found fetal cells, right, of your child. And I love that they're found in these organs, which are, you know, life-giving organs. You need a brain, you need a heart. I'm not sure what the spleen does, but apparently, we have one. I understand the liver and the kidneys, you need those as well. But not only is that powerful, but it's also there's a relationship of what they call bidirectional, right? So all these life-supporting, life-sustaining energies. Excuse me. I got a lot going on, but I'm still here. So all of these cells, it's bidirectional because while the fetus is implanting, it's forming its cells and stuff into the mother is also implanting cells into the fetus. And that is called the mother microchirism. Chirimism. I won't call it. He who shall not be named, he's always messing up something. But anyway, so when the mother begins this, that's the fetus is putting, it's called fetal micro M. And then when the mother does it to transfer, it's called maternal micro M, right? And it's putting, the mother then puts her cells into nourishing the growth and the cells of that fetus so that there's a strengthening of the immune system. There's this relationship that happens. And we know, of course, dads contribute DNA and all that, but this is something special that happens when the woman is creating and carrying life substance in the womb. And when I was reading all this, I said, women are some bad, bad something else. Because it's a miracle the way a woman is able to carry life and nurture life and build life, and the cells know what to do and the transfer. Very, very powerful thing. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a divine connection that is really true. Motherhood is a divine connection that happens because my being and cells is a part of in my mother permanently, right? And hers are within me, but she's carrying me permanently. And I thought, wow, this is so important because no wonder there's like a strong bond between a mother and a child. There's something physical that's happening that bonds them together, but also spiritual and emotional and mental for that whole process of 9 months of building and sustaining. And we all know how energy works. So the energy is being transferred from the mother to the fetus and the fetus to the mother. All of this is really happening. And so there's a wonderful bond and a relationship, a divine connection that happens with motherhood. That's powerful. And I'm thinking, well, there's another bond that we have that is equally as strong and as powerful between creator and child. Not necessarily the mother, but creator, right? Because the mother is creating in a certain sense, but there's a bond between the creator and a child, which is God and you, right? There's a bond spiritually between God and you. You me, we are God's divine offspring. We have heard that, right? We are children of the Most High. We're children of God. And what that says to me, as a child of God, if I'm looking at how creation works and how motherhood begins to nurture life and all of that, it's the same way that God is within me, all around me, right? I'm in God and God is in me, and I can't be, the God factor, the God energy cannot be separated from me. And sometimes we forget that because we're like, oh, I'm just human, whatever. No, no, no. You are a divine creation, a divine offspring of God. And so what that says is that I have within me the makeup of God, the divine blueprint of God, the divine connection with God. And this divine blueprint of God being one with this manifestation of a physical being, a mental being, emotional and spiritual being, this pattern, this divine blueprint is what we call the Christ. So it's not just, we always tell you, Christ was not Jesus' last name. We know that, right? It's the blueprint. It's the divine pattern for who we are created to be, held in the mind of God, of spiritual man, spiritual woman, a spiritual being. We call that the Christ. And within that pattern, within that offspring or that design, is included everything that the divine is, that God is. It's placed in all the cells, in all of our cells, in all of our being. We wouldn't be here, right? Everything, it can be traced back to the divine through God in us, through us, as us, which we call the Christ. So this is a powerful thing, because as children of God, or the Christ of God, this is when Jesus was able to say, when he was speaking as the Christ, oftentimes he spoke as the Christ. He put on the mantle, he put on the identity, he knew who he was. So he would speak as the Christ, and when he was speaking as the Christ, he said, towards the end, he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Lo, I am with you always." It's like the Christ, not necessarily him, Jesus the man, but the Christ is able to say, "Lo, I am with you always," because that is the part of you that is your divine makeup. And that part of you never leaves. It never leaves. It never goes away. It's embedded in the very fabric of your being. And God, as creator, carries you like the mother carries that soul in the womb. God carries you within the heart of life itself. And so we're divinely connected, like a mother who forms, who nourishes that fetus into a full-blown child and held in the womb. God carries us, nurtures us, feeds us, develops us, right? Gives us everything we need to be successful, wonderful, amazing human beings. Alfred Lord Tennyson did a poem that we're all familiar with. And in this poem, this line has been quoted in biblical settings and spiritual settings, and it emphasizes how close God is to us. And it says this: "Speak to him, thou, for he hears, and spirit with spirit can meet. Closer he is than breathing, nearer than hands and feet." We've heard the closer he is, right? But it actually comes from this poem that Lord Tennyson wrote in 1869. And I love it. He says, you know, speak to him because he hears. Spirit with spirit can meet. We are spiritual beings connected to the divine super being that is God, right? And he says that, you know, not only can we meet, but I love it. He says that closer is he than breathing and nearer than hands and feet. How comforting is it to know that God's presence is always close and intimate, closer than breathing and nearer than hands and feet? Now think about this. When your mother carried you in her womb, she too was closer than breathing and nearer to you than hands and feet. Because she was actually the source that allowed you to grow to a certain extent so that you could breathe on your own. But before you came in, while you were in the womb, the breathing was done by what? The mother, closer than breathing. She was breathing life into your being. That cord was taking sustenance and life and oxygen and energy, right? She was nearer to you than hands and feet so that when you were born, you could use your hands and your feet, right? But at one point, that entity that is the divine and sacred mother has a place where it is nurturing you and helping you to grow and unfold into who you really are. So a mother is closer to you than breathing. And nearer to you than hands and feet. The vessels for God's divine plan to be able to bring life into life, greater life, through this wonderful vessel that is the mother. And you know, so much has been emphasized through and by the patriarchy of God as Father. How many of you coming up in a spiritual tradition were taught about God as mother? When you pray, you were taught to pray what? Father God. The patriarchy, now they knew that there was something powerful and special happening in the life of a mother and a woman, right? Rather than give some of that to equal play, they decided, let's make God solely a man, and this a patriarchy, we pray to only the male. That has significance. And some of that is carried on today. Right? You don't have any right over your body. Your purpose here is only to bear my child. To do my bidding. But God in God's wisdom knew that both were necessary for life itself. But if I'm going to brag, I will say, but a little bit more power and importance was placed upon the woman. Because she had to do, yeah, let's give the women their props. I've never walked around for 9 months with pounds and pounds of energy and life force, but I've seen women who have, and it's like, it doesn't look like it's easy. So we have missed an opportunity to understand the importance of both energies, right? Because we need to have the mothering aspect of God. The Old Testament doesn't really give you a picture of God as mother too well. It's God as the man who's going to smite you, smoke you, beat you, whatever, right? Discipline you. And all of that's needed, but it must be balanced with love. If I just constantly discipline a child and discipline a child and discipline a child and never show what? Love and affection and tenderness, that child, trust me, is going to grow up a little warped. Right? Not growing up to their full potential. Both are needed. And who here doesn't need to be comforted from time to time? I don't care how grown you get. I don't care if you're a man and a woman. Everybody needs to be comforted from time to time, right? And who here doesn't need the warmth of a hug from time to time, right? When I get to greet my brothers, you know, when they come in and we haven't seen each other, we hug. How you doing? So, hey, brother, we hug because that's that human what? Connection. Just like babies do not thrive without physical connection. Right? In order for us to thrive and grow, we must feel the warmth of another soul. So we all need mothering from time to time on occasion. We all want to be understood. We all want to be seen. We all want to be acknowledged for who we are. It's often been said that a mother knows her child. And as it just so happened, I wrote that, but as we were driving in, my brother was talking about my nephew, and he raised my nephew from a baby, pretty much by himself, and he was talking about my nephew, whatever, and the phrase he said, my mother said, well, you know your child? He said, I know my child.
So it's not just, I guess, a mother who knows her child, but if the father is present for every aspect of that child's what upbringing and coming, that father's going to know that child too if you're paying attention, right? But it's Mother's Day, so we're going to focus on mothers. But it said that a mother knows her child. A mother can have 10 children, and she will know the needs and wants and disposition of each child, right? Each one is different, and she gives this one a little bit more and this one a little bit of that, and not equally the same. They're loved the same, but their needs are not met in the same way because they don't have the same needs. But a mother tunes in and knows her children, knows their makeup, right? But think about God. God knows you. God knows every bit of who you are. God knows your makeup. God knows your needs. God knows your potential. God knows your temperament. God knows your shortcomings and your flaws. God knows it all and loves you anyway. One of my favorite scriptures that I would read early on in my ministry when I was in ministerial school came from Jeremiah 1 through 5. And, this is what it would say. Oh, I had it open and then I went and moved it over here. Let's see. So this is Jeremiah, and he's a prophet of the Old Testament, and he's being called by God to serve. And then Jeremiah says, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send to you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And then he says, the Lord put forth his hand, touched his mouth, and Jeremiah was able to speak, and he had confidence. Before you were formed in the womb, God says to him, I knew you. Before you were born, I knew everything about you. This is powerful for me because part of my covenant when I was taking my vows for ordination, the night before I had a dark night of the soul, and I've told you all this before, but I was having a dark night of the soul, and I thought, well, how can I be ordained? Because I'm not perfect yet. I still judge people. I still get angry, and I still do to this day, right? But I thought I had to be what? Some kind of whatever. And literally, in that dark night of the soul, God said, I know you. I know everything about you. And I have called you. And I have called you not to be perfect, but to be in my service. And I literally heard that. And when I heard that, I was like, okay, who am I to judge my own sense of worthiness if God has said God has called me in my what? In my imperfection, not in my perfection. So I stand before you perfectly imperfect in my humanity and in my divinity, in my need for growth and in my wisdom and understanding and learning. All of that, God knows. God knew who I am. God knows who I am. God loves you and understands you. And what I love this image is that God is also carrying you. The cells of your being are carried by God, right? God carries you. So you don't have to worry about your flaws and shortcomings. God knows it all. Don't try to hide from God. You can't. Your task is to work on oneself, right? That's what we're here all to do. Work on yourself as best you can. But don't fear the judgment of God because God isn't here to judge you. God is here to love you, support you, encourage you, lift you up, right? Because you are what? You are a child of God. You are a child of God. And I came across this statement that says, you know, that says when you think about yourself as a child of God, this concept of being a child of God carries two major things. One, identity. Who am I? I'm a child of God. Some people say, I'm a king of the king, whatever you, but you can identify yourself in your highest order of things. I'm a child of God. I'm a divine being. I am the Christ, whatever you want to say. But it gives you identity when you recognize that you come from the divine. You are created through and by God. And the second thing that gives you, because of that, it gives you inherent worth. Inherent worth. Because you are here, you are worthy to be here. If you weren't worthy to be here, guess what? You wouldn't be here. Before we were formed in the womb, God knew us. Before we were born, God called each of us to be, to serve who we are. That's the mothering aspect of God, right? And this someone said this, if one believes they are divinely fathered / or mothered, their value is viewed as intrinsic and cannot be taken away by life's circumstances. I want to read that again. If one believes that they are divinely fathered and mothered, their value is viewed as intrinsic. I'm worth it. I'm here. And cannot be taken away by life circumstances. Some of us are going to be, doing A, and some will be doing B, and some will have lots of money, and some might have a little, and some will have lots of love, and some will have, little, whatever. All of that takes nothing away from who we are and who we've been created to be. And this is how a mother, because of that, knowing the intrinsic value and worth of a soul, like God does, because of that, this is how a mother can still love her child, even if they have done some horrendous things. Have you ever seen when they've interviewed a mother after maybe they, caught someone who was just deep, way off, did some terrible things? That mother still has the ability to do what? Love that child and have hope for that child. And have the potential that they can still turn it around or become something or do something. They're going to see the potential even when the rest of us don't see it. I don't see a drop of potential in that soul right there. Okay? I was reminded of even somebody's mother who is he who should not be named. Even his mother was able to say, well, I don't know about this one. Y'all need to watch out for this one. But I'm sure at some time she had some, love for this child, right? So when you are mothered, friends, by the divine, and we all want to be mothered on some level, we should have a sense of belonging, because the mother is going to keep the brood together. The mother's going to keep the tribe together. The divine feminine keeps that relationship of the tribe and communication working together. That's our nature. That's what we do. We keep it all together, right? And so, with this comes a sense of belonging, not necessarily to a particular family or friends, but to the tribe of humanity. We all belong. We all belong. And when we're in tune with this mothering aspect, we would recognize that all of us belong. This is the year, this is the time, this is the season of the divine feminine. Our time has come because it's so needed on the planet at this time. We need to recognize, wow, you don't look like me, but you're my brother. You're my sister. We are all one. Instead of what we see happening now, trying to X out different people and different races. No. That's a different mindset. The divine feminine mindset is going to what? Bring everything together. Some of the signs you all had at your peace walk, right? Unity and community, together, in this together, right? As one, love thy neighbor, no exceptions. Because we're all doing this together. Cut down a tree in the Amazon and we're going to feel it over here. Try to eliminate a whole race of people, we're going to feel it over here. We are intricately connected to each other. And the mother aspect of God keeps it all in relationship. So we have this sense of belonging. We're here because we're worthy to be here. Because God makes no mistakes. Even the people we can't, even the ones that I kept saying, God, I keep asking God about this one over here. And I keep getting that God makes no mistakes. Everything serves a purpose. And if nothing else, he is waking us up. Not just us, the world up. And yes, it feels like it's in upheaval right now, but there's something powerful going on. Mothering. When you are mothered by God, you'll know a couple of things. You're going to know that your needs will be met. Because the mother, God again, has given the mother the ability to feed that child upon birth, right? It feeds the fetus and the child in the womb, but it also has the ability to do what? Feed that child outside of the womb until that child is able to stand on its own or go hunt for its own food or whatever. But when it's an infant, food is automatically provided by the divine through the mother. Right? And so that tells us our needs will always be provided for. Until we can stand on our own and do for ourselves. God is constantly providing a way for us to be fed, to be nourished, to be sustained in life. That's a powerful thing. That's a powerful thing. So I'm saying to you today, just take some time to become familiar with the mothering aspect of God. The mothering aspect. Because that's a divine connection that can't be broken. You know, it stays. If you were here, you had a mother as well as a father. But you had a mother that was able to nurture you and sustain you and bring life forth within a certain time period, using her own body and her own cells to help nourish your body and your cells. So this is a powerful thing to recognize God as the divine feminine, God as the mother aspect of life. And so when you feel that, you know, all is lost, recognize that we are here to grow and to unfold. God has created everything necessary for our growth and our unfoldment, like the mother creates an environment for the growth and the unfoldment of that child. And God provides the same for us. God is with you and within you, literally and figuratively, just like you are in your mother and your mother is in you, literally and spiritually, right? And that you are loved unconditionally and mothered perfectly. Don't worry about the type of relationship. Some have not had good relationships with their mother, but that's okay. They serve the divine purpose to what bring you forth. You are here. You are here. And so this is our time to celebrate our mothers, but also to recognize that we need to go forth and be the amazing child of God that we've been created to be. That's our call. Let me go forth and be the amazing child of God that I have been created to be. So, are you ready to do that? Yes, yes, yes. Well, happy Mother's Day and be blessed. Well, blessings. Blessings, blessings.